The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to continue a little catechesis on prayer. And John is dragging me back in to talk about it again. But I think John gives us one word that should today strike at our hearts, even as it relates to prayer, and that's truth. Truth, beauty, goodness, they're of a piece. And we cannot have one without the other. Everything that's true is then good, and it has its own beauty. Goodness is only good when it conforms to the truth. If we don't have truth at the heart of our prayer, it's not prayer. So if we in our prayer are beseeching the Lord for any particular intercession, right, we're asking him for what's good. But good is not relative. Now, it may be subjective in as much as what's good for you in some ways may not be what's good for someone else. When you look at the specifics, the circumstances, the situation, the rest. But that's not to say then it's all relative. What I am capable of in terms of what I'm able to do today in terms of expressing God's love may not be the same capacity that somebody else has or is called to. I'm getting myself into trouble here, right? There's no falsity in goodness. Okay, we'll look at it the other side. Right, so something can't be wrong and be good. Okay, it's easier that way. Okay, right? Nods. Yeah, I can move on. Right. So I told you before, you get the homily that you deserve. I don't think anyone's deserving this today, but there cannot be falsity, there cannot be falsehood in goodness. Okay, so there are things like an objective evil, right? Something that's evil, absolute evil, things that are never good, right? We understand that. If we don't understand that, I'm going to have to teach a series of courses, and I have them lined up for the fall of next year, because I have to teach actually Seton Hall general moral course. So I'll bring that back to the parish when I'm done with it, because I have to do the work. So we'll wait for that in the fall. Prayer, I just want to focus on one aspect of prayer today. And my preface was really that there are no contradictions in goodness. There are no contradictions in truth. So that we actually do have the firm basis of, say, church teaching that gives us a particular frame of reference in order to understand many things, including perhaps what we ought to be praying for and things that perhaps we ought not to be praying for. But still, we bring our hearts to God, and this is all about that conformity to will, right, that we've grappled with a little bit, and looking at the Garden of Gethsemane as that place where Jesus is battling to bring his human nature into conformity with the divine will. And we go through that struggle ourselves in genuine prayer. A lot of genuine prayer is that way. The aspect that I want to look at today is time, and perhaps a little bit of space, but time. So when we come before God in prayer, we sometimes have apprehensions, maybe regrets. There are things in our past that seem to be coming up. That's okay, right? So I know that a lot of people, when we talk about these things, will consider them distractions. Those are not distractions. That's perhaps where your heart is. They're not necessarily distractions. We know what distractions are. Like if you're worried about, I didn't turn the oven off, or my light, the kitchen light's still on or something, that's probably a distraction, right? But talking about events in our lives, perhaps relationships that are not quite where they ought to be and that kind of thing. It's the past, right? That's the past. But our hearts are there, right? We're bound to the past in some ways. And I think one of the, you know, regret, I think we all understand, right? Regrets. We can have actually legitimate regrets as Christians. There are generally times where we didn't go along with the will of God. That is regretful, right? It's not like, oh, we don't have any regrets, like we're Christians. That's not the way it is, right? We know that we didn't always follow the will of God. And that should, we have that sense. But we're bound to the past in some ways with regret, at least a regret that has not yet been redeemed. So we can allow our hearts to be there, but we need, when our hearts are there in prayer, when we're making that offering of ourselves to God, then we want to say, God, be with me here. The here is in the past, right? And as we allow him to enter that part of our lives, to focus on that relationship, that event, whatever it may be, that has us bound to the past, we find that he loosens those bonds and allows us to come with him into the present moment. The more we allow God into the past of our lives, the more he necessarily brings us into the present moment where we encounter him. Because in a sense, the past doesn't exist. And the future, we'll get to right now, also doesn't exist. Just this moment is. Just this moment. So God encounters us in the moment, right? The eternity of God encounters us in this particular moment in time. So the future likewise, okay, so we had this sense of regret in the past, but our hearts also are kind of dragged into the future in terms of anticipation, right? And like worry and concern. It's easier to talk about the negative aspects of it because that's where our hearts are weighed down. But we can rejoice with God in events that have happened in the past that have brought us to this present moment of encounter with God. But we look to the future, anticipation, worry, concern, right? Whatever it may be. And our hearts can be there too. Our hearts often are there. And so we have to bring that to God also. And again, the more that we allow God to take possession of that aspect of our hearts, the more he brings us back with him to the present moment. Because that's where he is. Right? He's not in the past, and he's not in the future. He's only ever in the present moment. Was he there with us? Yes, he was there with us, but he's not there in the past or in the future. He's in the present. So the present moment is where we encounter the love of God. It's where we encounter his grace and his strength to overcome whatever regrets we have in the past, things that in a circuitous way brought us to the present moment. So we don't have to be held down by it. When we let God there, we're freed in order to be in the present moment with him, giving thanks to him, even though we have legitimate regrets, that he brought us to this moment. Right? Because there's no place that we would prefer to be than right here, right now. So praise God for everything that's brought us here, that he has written straight with a very crooked line. And in the future too, right? That we're out there, but he's not. He'll come with us to bring us back so that we can encounter him here for the strength and grace we need to take on whatever's coming. And it doesn't matter what's coming, because if we stay in the present, we're always with him. There's one, what was my last aspect? Yeah, to sum it up. You get that sense like we're all over the place. You know, like we're like spread out. I'm scattered. Do you know, like, our language talks about, like, we have these things like scattered. I don't know, like this spread out kind of thing, like I'm all over the place, right? We say those kind of things. But God wants to bring us into the present moment. He wants to say, make us, this is where we find ourselves to be people of integrity. We're brought together, right? Where all these different things that are going, everything's kind of brought together. Right, so we're in one place. We're not scattered. Our energies are not diminished. We're focused where we are. Right, and this is all what prayer can give us, and it's just about allowing God to be with us where we are, even though we're all spread out, and allowing him to draw us to where he is, which is right here, right now.